Shall we? But Steve Menzies, one of the legends of the NRL game on the line, thinking, what am I getting myself into here?
Yeah, well.
Seriously.
You've got to be brave. He is our legend of the game. He's just one of the most outstanding players across the long history of rugby league. It was 21 years as a professional, and just the numbers are ridiculous. In total, played over 500 professional games of rugby league, and he did it playing 80 minutes pretty much every week and in the second row as well. It's great to have Stephen Menzies as our legend of the game, and he joins us on the line. G'day, Steve.
Good morning, boys. What have I got myself into?
This has only just started, Steve. You'll probably hang up in about 30 seconds, I'm tipping.
Wow. Okay. Where do we go from there?
Well,
I don't know.
I'll tell you where we go.
You're not going to ask me socks questions.
No, no, no. We go all the way back to the start, and we often ask these our legend this question: how did you end up starting in rugby league? I know there was a family connection there, given the fact you're the grandson of Mackie Campbell, who was in Manly's first ever game. But when did footy start for you, and how long into your footy career before headgear made an appearance?
So, yeah, obviously my grandfather played in Manly, as you said, Manly's first grade side, 47. But my career started, I was seven, and my couple of rugby league development officers come to our school and said, who wants to play rugby league? And, of course, I didn't put my hand up, and my brother put his hand up and said, I want to play. So I figured, well, if he's playing, I should start playing, and that's how I started.
Mm. Well, you grew up in that Manly region. They've always been such a powerful club with so many iconic players. When you were a young boy learning the game and going to Brookvale Oval, was there a certain player you looked up to who influenced your career at all, Steve?
Oh, probably my favourite player as a young kid was Graeme Easley. I had the one on my back. And Johnny Gibbs as well, who I know these days. But it's... probably the Wombat. Most of my vivid memories are of not watching the footy, but sliding down the back on the Brookie Hill there on the cardboard and trying to race to get the corner post and running on, touching the players as you could do when the final siren went. Some great memories from obviously Brookvale Oval.
Yeah, we actually spoke to Terry Randall a couple of weeks ago, and he was similar to you in the fact that he played a lot of his junior football in the centres before moving into the second row. Pretty much the same for you. Was that a bit of a shock for you, Steve, when you came into the grade scene?
Well, I never. People always say, "Yeah, you play," and it's always sort of reported you played in the centres. And as a junior, I never really played in the centres. I always played second row a lot.
Okay.
I had 1 year of fullback when I was about 14 because I was the worst tackler. They just chucked me back there. But pretty much, my last year in France, I played in the centres. But other than that, it was just, we need someone to fill in, jump out there. Otherwise, I've always sort of been a forward. So it's probably more uncomfortable when I was in the centres than when I was in the back row, even though I probably stood outside the centre.
Yeah, it's interesting. Was it always going to be Manly, the club you were going to eventually join, Steve? Because I know the North Sydney Bears did make a reasonable offer for you to go and play for them early doors.
That's true. They did offer $5,000. That was very tempting. When you go from zero to 5,000, it's a huge jump. Manly was always the club I loved. As a kid, it's where I grew up. I was born in Manly Hospital, so my passion was to play for Manly. And luckily enough, North made that offer, and I was definitely interested. And then Manly came and said, "Well, we want to keep you," and that was an easy decision from then for the next 20 years.
Yeah, and just looking at your career, Steve, every year there seemed to be something, with. So 1993, you make your first grade debut, but 1994, you're named NRL Rookie of the Year, and by the end of that season, you're on a Kangaroo tour, which is just incredible. I know you didn't play in a test match, but give us an understanding. That was the last of the long Kangaroo tours as well. Give us an understanding of what it was like to be on as a 20-year-old with all these guys who, obviously deeply experienced.
Yeah, it was amazing. A little bit, surreal. I remember getting... selected, and then you go and I'm sitting next to Ricky Stewart on the 24-hour flight. I think I said, "Hi, how are you?" And that's all I spoke. It was just a room with Brad Clyde over there. He was one of my sort of teenage heroes when I was. I used to have a jersey with Clyde on the back, and you're playing in the midweek games, and the test side would come and play a few midweek games where you know, we played with the younger sort of guys, the Wendell Sailors, and you know, these other guys. And you come back and play with Big Mal or, you know, Alfie Langer, Laurie, you know, all these legends that you, you know, you used to watching play State of Origin, and then you're there and you're running alongside them. So it's just a real experience. But, you know, those old Kangaroo tours, I think we did 8 weeks in England, 2 weeks in France, and it was just, they became your family, you know. They were great experiences. And it was once every 4 years. It had some momentum and emphasis about it. It was so lucky to be involved in that type of tour.
Yeah, Steve, we've often asked players of your era and your tours. I know the game has changed now, the scheduling on the players, the impact of the game on the players' bodies, etc., all has to be taken into account. But will we ever see an extended Kangaroo tour like that one of 1994 again?
Well, I don't know. Well, I think, you know, I would love to see it again. I just think once every 4 years, it really, there's a crescendo that you can go towards. But back then, the England, the local side, they obviously played in their winter, which was opposite. So you go over there in our off-season and play midweek games. I still would like to see, you know, maybe every 4 years have a shortened competition by 6 weeks and then put on a big Kangaroo-style tour that they can go over and still play the midweek games. And whether that's even possible, I really think it brings, you know, along with the World Cup, I thought the World Cup this year was, you know, one of the best I've ever seen for the game of rugby league and these emerging nations, or if you can even call them that now. But I just think it gives a huge emphasis on the Australian team and that Kangaroo type once every 4 years.
And you mentioned emerging teams, but also emerging players like yourself in that 94 tour. As Jimmy said, you didn't get a chance to play a test match, but you're in that environment with the absolute best in the sport over an extended period, and you're getting to play with them in a lot of those club games.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, that's right. And just being the experience in, you know, seeing how they train. Mm. You know, I think they do that with the emerging origin side, and they do that with Australians type sides, and get the young players in early just to see and experience how what they expect. And as a young kid, you take that back to your clubs, and you know, you're a better player for it. Your club, you know, your teammates are better for you. It's just, you know, it's invaluable. You just can't. You can't teach that on any training pattern other than being in and around those great players. Mm-hmm. That's one part that I suppose it's, you know, we miss a little bit.
Mm. I mentioned the years. So 94, you had that incredible year. 95 then is another incredible year for you. It's your first grand final. Unfortunately, it's a loss for you guys against Canterbury. But you also go and play in a World Cup, and an underestimated World Cup because of the absence of the Super League players. You ended up winning the final 16-8, but I think the semi-final against New Zealand was the incredible game. 20-all at full time, and just one of the great games of all time. And no surprise, Steve Menzies gets himself a couple of tries in that game as well. What are your memories of that game in particular in the World Cup in 95?
Yeah, the World Cup, obviously, underdogs, you know, those Super League players weren't selected. We weren't expected to be able to compete with that. You know, you're amazing players that were left out. So, underrated. The semi-final, I remember, scored one of my favourite tries. It's about 75-metre try that I did score. And then I think a teammate of mine, Matthew Ridge, it was 20-all. They scored in the corner. He had the kick to literally win and knock us out. And, you know, I played with Ridgey for a couple of years. He doesn't miss many, even from the sideline. And if he misses, he only misses by a metre. I think he missed that kick by 10 metres. It's the worst kick I've ever seen. I think Joey stood behind the goals and just, before the kick, said, "Everybody pray." I've never heard him say that before. But so whether that helped us, but yeah, we obviously go on to win that game and then go on to win the final. It was one of the great moments in my career.
We often ask ex-Australian players what it's like to pull that iconic green and gold jersey on for the first time. Steve, can you remember the moment and how you were thinking when you're about to go out for your first Test match?
Yeah, look, it's obviously going on the Kangaroo tour the year before was amazing, but to run out in that first test and just be presented with that jersey, I've still got the photo. I still remember Brad Fittler presenting me the the jersey that I played with there. I got a photo, and just, you know, as a kid, you know, you grow up wanting to play State of Origin, wanting to play for Australia, and then, you know, the moment arrives, and it's again, it's a little bit surreal to go out there, and, you know, go out there. I think that we are one of the proudest moments, the national anthem, obviously, when you play before any test match, standing there, your family's there, it was a pretty special moment.
Mm. Grand final success awaited, and that happened the very next year. That was an incredible Manly side, that 95, 96, 97. In the end, one premiership from that team. But as a local boy and still only very young, your memories of that grand final win against St George side, who were pretty plucky on the day, but in the end, your class told.
Yeah, look, it was obviously to play the year before and lose the game, and I think we lost three games the whole season, and then the Bulldogs came out and just blew us away, taught us how to play grand final. You know, it's a different game at these 80 minutes. So come out there and to get through that. It's more, you know, when you win it, it's more after you've lost, it's more relief that we've actually achieved it, because, you know, and I suppose you don't really appreciate how lucky you are to play grand finals. Mm. When you're so young, you just think, we'll be sweet. I think Tim Brash is, you know, he played, I think his first year, he played 89, played the grand final, and
yeah,
said the boys were devastated after losing. And he's, I think he was 17 or 18, but you mean, well, I'll play one next year, and you know, maybe the year after. And, you know, he never, you know, he only played a few semi-final games, let alone a grand final after that. So you don't really understand as a young player what it means to be in one and win one. And, you know, so luckily enough, we got it done that day. And I did sneak over for a try, which gave me the hugest cork ever. And I think I played 10 minutes of the second half and had to come off because I couldn't even run. But it was, like I said, that's what you train for. And that's one of the greatest things you can do is win a grand final with your teammates.
Jimmy mentioned earlier, Steve, it was a great era for Manly. We actually played in three successive grand finals and followed that 96 win, a famous loss, if I can put it that way, to Newcastle in 1997. But that was also the era of where Bob Fulton was the coach of Manly and one of the immortals of the game. What was he like as a coach and an influence on your career?
Yeah, look, he was a huge influence. Obviously, he was the guy who signed me when I was still 17, and that off the camp in North Sydney. He was there, and had a huge influence on my career, as in just allowing me to be, you know, background. He wasn't big on statistics for me, stats and hit ups and meters gained, and it was more about, you know, you be where you need to be, you follow who you need to follow, and just allowed me to, you know, to I suppose, flourish in the things that made me the player that I was, and allowed me to, you know, refine those and get better at those, and, you know, the combination with Cliff Lyons and another type of another coach would have potentially, you know, inhibited some of those with, no, I need this more from you, or, you know, there was never that type of restriction or need for me to do anything. It was there was really just letting me, obviously there was, you know, guides along the way, but letting me flow and become the type of player that I was able to become is because of him. And that's, yeah, he had that in his game plan, was this the certain second role that role was for, and that suited me perfectly.
When did that start to develop, or did you know that it was developing, that combination with Cliff Lyons? Because it was one of the ones, you know, when you had tip sheets about playing Manly, it was always around Lyons and Menzies, and it always comes up on this program as one of the great combinations in sport.
Yeah, look, it's just one of those things. I think the first year I played when I was 19, I think Cliffy was 32 the first year I played. So it's a unique sport where you can have two guys so far apart in age, and yet they click on the field, and it was, and we didn't really practice many things. It was just, I knew where, you know, whenever he called the ball, I knew sort of what he was going to do. He reckons he didn't know what he was going to do, but, you know, he was a player that reacted to the defence, so he didn't know what he was going to do, because he didn't know what the defence, he would let them make the first move and then react against that. And I would, you know, I suppose I would wait for them to make the first move, whether it be coming in to tackle him or staying out, and then I would react as well. And those two combinations of reacting against the defence was allowed us to flourish as a combination. But as a ball runner, to play with amazing talent like Cliffy, if he wasn't there, then I've no doubt I wouldn't have achieved the things that I did for Manly or in the game, because it, that type of combination allowed me to, again, to show what I was able to do.
Well, it certainly worked, didn't it, Steve? One of the great try scorers in the game of all time, 180 NRL tries, and you're renowned as a great hole runner, but as you mentioned, Steve, you need to have those ball players like a Cliff Lyons who can put the ball on your chest.
Yeah, that's right. At a time, you can be the best hole runner in the world and hit the gap every single time, but if someone doesn't hit you, not just in the gap, but at the right time in the gap, or the ability to draw defenders in, which was one of his great skills, just to give you that extra half a yard that you need to do what you can do. It is a two-way street. Mm. Yeah, even though people like to say that I took your house, or so. but he was. No, I like to think it was a two-way street anyway.
And just on that, Steve, is it true that you still have your first dollar?
No. I've given that to Cliffy years ago. I did a negotiation and just handed him a couple of bucks and said, thanks very much for that 8 years we played together, and we called it square.
Yeah, that's what it would have been, a negotiation, no doubt about it. Not many players, Steve, get the fairy tale, but it certainly happened for you. And in the most commanding way, 40-0 against the Melbourne Storm in 2008, and pretty much a try pretty much your last touch in the game. Did it get any better than that for Steve Menzies, the footballer?
No, it didn't. That's the greatest numbers I've ever had. But like I sort of said earlier about playing grand finals and not understanding what they mean towards the end of the career, well, knowing it's your last game, you completely understand how lucky you are, and you will never get another chance. And we got beaten the year before in 07, and knowing running out that this is my last ever game, and not knowing whether whether we'd win or not is a scary feeling. And then we go out, and it was a tough game. I think it was only 6 or 8 nil at half time, and then the tries started flowing in the second half, and then I probably wasn't supposed to get back on the field. I think I've told this story before, but it's I was on the bench, and obviously rotation wise, I probably wasn't going to go back on. A little bit of luck, Steve Matt, I went down and grabbed his neck. And Stevie never goes down, so he went down and ended up coming off. And I make a joke of it, but it was just one of those things. He came off, and I literally ran on the field as they played the ball, and then 25 seconds or whatever later, I got the ball and I'm passing it to Michael Robertson, and I'm thinking he scored already 3 tries in the game. He's not passing it back to me. If I was him, I probably wouldn't pass it back to me. I would try and score 4. I don't know whether anyone's ever scored 4 in a grand final, but he flicked it back to me, and then I thought, wow, don't drop this. And I caught it, and then, That was the pinnacle moment to score, and it was very special and very, very lucky.
Yeah, what a
memory.
It was the icing on a magnificent career, Steve. Great to have you on the program this morning. Appreciate your time. I think all the listeners would appreciate the walk down memory lane. And, even if you didn't appreciate Manly, you certainly appreciated the skills and dedication of Steve Menzies. Thanks very much for your time this morning, Steve.
My pleasure, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Steve.
Pleasure.
Cheers. Thank you.
Steve Menzies there, Manly legend. Mm. You know what I find unfortunate? That somehow you can't say he's a one club. It's sort of the Northern Eagles
for a couple
which is,
of years.
Bit unfortunate,
but he's always going to be remembered as a Manly legend.
Oh,
absolutely. And a wonderful player and try-scoring freak, really.
Unbelievable.
Try-scoring freak.
Unbelievable. Nearly a try every second game from a forward. Just incredible.